So today we continue in our study in the Gospel of Mark, and it seems like a very appropriate passage because it's when Jesus basically had a picnic next to the lake and feeding the more than 5,000 people. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 30, but let's just remember the rest of the chapter 6. First of all, Jesus had been not honored when he went to his hometown. They rejected him. They were like, well, who are you? We know who you are. And so they rejected him. He sent out his disciples two by two, proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, of repentance. They went out and they performed miracles like healing the sick and casting out demons. So basically they were extending God's kingdom to those around him, to around them. And so, you know, they were basically doing the extension of Christ's ministry on earth. Right in the middle of him sending there out, people start having rumors about who Jesus is because his reputation was getting around. And people thought, well, you know, he's probably John the Baptist come back from the dead, and or he's a prophet, or he's Elijah. And Herod started to hear these rumors, and he was convinced that it must be John the Baptist back from the dead, the man that he had beheaded. And so that was become very uneasy for him. And we compared, you know, Herod's kingdom versus the kingdom of God, God's kingdom versus a worldly kingdom, where God's kingdom offers truth and forgiveness and mercy and grace and life, whereas the kingdom of the world tend to speculate in rumors. Herod didn't want to get to the bottom of who Jesus was. He just listened to rumors. When he was confronted with his own sin, he was condemning towards John the Baptist. There was malevolence, and then there was death. And then we pick up now with Jesus' disciples coming back and telling them everything that they had done. So let's look at verse 30. The apostles, and remember, this is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that they are actually referred to as apostles, which literally means sent out ones. So the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done. So basically saying, you would not believe what happened. We were out there, we were proclaiming your kingdom. We were out there preaching repentance, just like you told us. You know, you sent us out there without money, which we probably thought was a little crazy. You sent us out there with money and without food, with just the clothing on our back and with just the shoes on our feet and then a staff in our hand. And God just provided. And then we saw people that were healed and that had demons cast out of them. So they're telling them about all that was going on. And then because so many people were coming and going, so there's just this throng of people that kept coming around Jesus because they heard of his miracles, they heard of his teaching, that there was, you know, they just this celebrity status that he had, so that he's being pressed in. So they were coming and they were going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. They didn't even have a chance to sit down and get a bite to eat. So he said, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So it's important to recognize that, you know, as much as we want to be active with Christ, and we should be as active as we can in our spiritual lives of sharing the message of Christ and investing in people's lives, but we also have to take care of ourselves, and there's time that we need to rest, and we need to take a step back. So that's what he was telling them. So they went away themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So they got in a boat, and they took off. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got ahead of them. Now you're probably thinking, well, how did they get ahead of them? Well, they were in a boat. The people were on ground. No motorboat. We're talking about a sailboat. Now, I've been trying to download a video this morning from the web of me sailing my boat. And I'm telling you, I'm crashing through the waves, and we're heeled way over, and there's water spraying up into the sails, and we were doing 5 miles per hour. But if I were to ask you how fast you thought I was going, you probably would think, well, you must be doing 15, 20, 25 miles per hour. No. So they were in the boat, and they were sailing 3 miles per hour, 4 miles per hour, So the people saw that and they ran and got ahead of them. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. So there they were. The throngs were still around. But instead of going, ugh, he had compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, a shepherd is supposed to protect the sheep, to feed the sheep, to care for the sheep. So he's looking at them as a sheep without a shepherd. Now, this is a major statement. This is a huge criticism and insight that we gain just from that insight about the religious leaders of Jesus' day. There were scribes. There were Pharisees. There were rabbis. Well, they had so many priests that they had platoons of them. They had to divide them all up. But none of them shepherded. None of them cared for the people. They had that pharisaical and legalistic attitude of, let me just see what's wrong with these people today. What can we catch them in? What can we share with others about what we disapprove of? Because there are a lot of people who carry that Pharisee mentality. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about this. And he was talking about the plight of these people without a shepherd, though they had plenty of religious leaders. There were questions, but no answers. Distress, but no relief. Anguish of conscience, but no deliverance. Tears, but none of consolation. Sin, but no forgiveness. They were waiting for the good news, and all they were getting was good advice, and probably not even that most of the time. He goes on and says, what is the use of scribes, devotees of the law, preachers and the rest, when there are no shepherds for the flock? They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. All that they were concerned about was rule following and fitting into their box. What Jesus saw was spiritually and physically starved as well as materially impoverished. And nobody seemed to care. He would see the same things today. And Jesus would want us to move to address them. So he began teaching them many things. Well, by this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. You know, this is a remote place, and it's already very late. Why don't you just send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat? So, were they concerned about the people? Were they concerned that what are we going to do with the people? Well, we don't know. But they certainly didn't, they knew there was no food for them to have. But Jesus answered them, well, you give them something to eat. Okay. He's the one that told them, don't take any food, don't take any money. So, you feed them. They said, well, that would take more than a half a year's wages. 200 denarii it would take. That's what they said. And one denarii equals one working day. So, a half a year's wages. So, are we to go out and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? You're asking something impossible. Now, I think it's kind of interesting because they've been with Jesus. They've seen him do things. They've seen him calm the storm. They seen him cast demons out. They seen him heal the sick. They seen him raise the dead. But yet they don't have much faith. And you think about it, they were brought up hearing the stories of the children of Israel in the wilderness being fed miraculously. And other times in the Old Testament where miraculous feedings took place, but yet that didn't cross their mind. Their memory of experience of those stories wasn't at play. All they could see was here and now. We don't know what to do. So Jesus said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? Well, go and find out. So they went out and they started looking, see what kind of food they could rustle up. And they did find some. They said, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now you're thinking, we're not talking about, you know, the big loaf of, you know, like Wonder Bread or Schmidt, you know, butter top bread. We're talking about little tiny piece of flat bread. 5 of them. And 2 small fish that would have been dried and salted. Enough for one person's lunch. Okay, so we got 1 lunch, so we just need 4,999 plus the others who are here. That's all we need. So Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So here they're out in the wilderness area, but there's some green grass there. The only time there's green grass in that time of year in Israel is during the springtime. So it's probably near Passover time, probably about a year before Jesus was crucified. And he had them sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties. So taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up in heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the fish among all of them. They all ate, and they were all satisfied. So they just didn't get a crumb. They got a substantial meal. Now, we don't know how that miracle worked. Did Jesus just keep breaking the bread, and it just kept coming, and he kept breaking and breaking and breaking the fish? Was it just as they were handed it out that it just kept multiplying? We don't know. All we know is what we need to know. There's plenty. Not only was there plenty, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So you add another 4,000 or 5,000 for women, another few thousand for children that might be there. So you're approaching 15,000 people. That's pretty good. It's 1 loaf of bread per 3,000. That's good economy. So here's this amazing account of Jesus feeding, as we always look at it, him feeding the 5,000 plus. But usually we miss some things here, because that's how we usually remember it. Jesus feeds the 5,000. But first, and probably in Mark's view and the other gospel writers who carried told this story, this was an important story to them, especially Mark. Mark mentions it a couple more times and reference back to this a couple more times in the gospel. But remember, Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He stepped up to be that shepherd. And really, when you kind of look at this passage of Scripture, you see some similarities to a very famous shepherd passage from the Old Testament, Psalm 23. So if you will just let me explore that just a little bit this morning with you. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'll be reading the Psalm 23 out of the King James Version, because really it's the prettiest version. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, in Mark 6, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw them in their plight, in their poverty, both spiritual and material. And his heart went out to them. That's a shepherd's heart, one that cares for other people. I shall not want. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to disciples to distribute to the people. And so what we learn here is, you know, that Christ is fulfilling them. You know, that he has given them what they need so that they would not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I love this part because they're by the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in groups on the green grass, on those green pastures by those still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wasn't just concerned about their physical well-being. He also taught them. Jesus began teaching them many things. He's concerned about their spiritual well-being. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him saying, this is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away. Let them be on their own. So that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus would have none of that, because that would put them in jeopardy. That would put them at a disadvantage. That could put them in harm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. They all ate. They were all satisfied. And the disciples picked up an overflowing amount of food, 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, there isn't a response to that in the passage because that's an open end. We're still exploring this in the Gospel of Mark. As people are hearing of the message of repentance and recognizing and coming to terms that they are indeed without a shepherd. They are sheep without a shepherd, that they're completely helpless. There's nothing in and of themselves that they can do to save themselves and protect themselves spiritually. They need a Savior. They need a Lord. And so we would be reminded today that the great shepherd, he is the one that we place our faith in, recognizing our own helplessness, recognizing our own sinfulness and repenting and confessing Christ as our Lord and our Savior, our leader and our forgiver. But when we look at this passage and we look at Psalm 23, we look at Mark 6 and it's in totality, and we recognize that we as Christ followers too are supposed to be carrying out the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that means that we are supposed to respond with compassion as he did to the shepherdless. And the first thing that we need to be able to do is to be able to see people the way he sees them. That we need to see the plight of those around us, seeing their plight. He recognized that they were being tossed about. And when we look at our society, when we look at everything around us, we can point fingers all that we want, but the reality is the people in our community do not have a shepherd. We have crime that is outlandish. We have drug addictions that are really at a health crisis. We have poverty issues in a nation of wealth. And it's so easy to look at somebody and say, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You should have made better choices. And people are not making better choices because they've not had the example and they have not had the shepherd to help them with that. And we have to see the humanity in them. And we need to recognize that there's so many Christians and so many churches that are not out there seeking to be shepherds. The next thing is we need to believe that Christ can help. That we actually think he makes a difference. That people's lives can be transformed. Because we have hopefully experienced that transformation. And if he can transform me, he can transform anyone. And we need to believe that. We need to be willing to share of our resources. It wasn't Christ feeding the 5,000 plus. It was Christ and his disciples feeding the 5,000 plus. He didn't just go, well, they need food. Here it is, like Bewitched, you know, wiggle the nose and up, here comes the food. He didn't do that. What did he say? What do you got? What do you mean, what do we got? You don't have anything. He told us not to bring anything. Well, go find out what you can find. Go out there and see what you got. And they came back with pretty meager findings. And Christ took that meager findings, that meager offering, and just did amazing things with it. And sometimes we think that we are not talented enough. We're not smart enough. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough whatever, that we just don't have enough to offer. And it's so little, and he won't be able to do so much with it. He'll do more than you think. But we need to be willing to share of ourselves, because when we start to share of ourselves, that's when Christ works through us. We need to seek to meet the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, the physical needs, the fiscal needs of others. Sometimes it's spiritual. We recognize that. Sometimes somebody just needs a good cry. They just need somebody to be there and just let them cry and not try to fix it. Sometimes it could be a physical thing. It could be some sickness that has occurred in their lives. It could be a physical challenge that's either temporary or permanent. Maybe it's a displacement of their home. I mean, it could be a variety of things. Or sometimes it's just fiscal. You know, maybe they've lost their job. Maybe there was unexpected expenses. But what we need to do is be able to see their plight, and we need to be willing to address their needs. And then we do need training for ourselves and training of others. That's what the disciples were. They were sent out. They did the thing. They came back with this glowing report. Then Jesus put them back to work. He let them be a part of this amazing miracle. And we need to recognize that there are always people that we need to invite into our lives to help us to become more and more like the men and women of God that we're supposed to be. No matter where we are, there's always somebody that has a quality or a trait or a talent or an ability or just a wisdom that we can learn from and mature. But that also means that we have something to offer. That we can offer to somebody our wisdom, the things that we have learned, show them our talents, show them some of the things that we have done to help them to become the men and women that God desires them to be. We are called to be compassionate, merciful. You notice Jesus, his heart just, he moved with compassion and he did something. If we say we have compassion, we don't do anything, then we might have a sorry feeling, but we don't have compassion. And he's called us to be compassionate.